Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
God is doing something in the book of Ruth. And Ruth is such an incredible book because it is a picture of Christ and it is a picture of the church. The Gentile church, to be exact. And Christ is represented in this book through a man named Boaz. I just love that name. How come we don't name our kids Boaz anymore? I mean, I think if I had one more boy, I'd be like, Boaz, here you are, man. You are like, that's like a strong name. And so through the book of through Boaz, we see Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And then through Ruth, who is a Moabite woman who was married to Naomi's son, who ended up dying. And Naomi's husband brought her from the land of Judea, Bethlehem. I'm just going to quickly go through this for those of you that have not been here in this series. There was a famine in the land. Israel was going against God time and time again. God sent judge after judge to condemn Israel, to show them how to get back on the right track. And they did, and they would get right with God. But then as soon as the judge would die, Israel would mess up again. Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? And so here they are, they're back in fallen state, they're back in rebellion, they're back in backsliding. And God says, I'm gonna dry up the land. And it was because of their sin that God was getting their attention and he dried up their land. And they each had a plot of land, they each had land to till, they each had a place that was their own. And there was a man by the name of Elimelech. I never can say this, Eli, we could just call him Eli. And he didn't like this, and so he took his family, and he thought the grass was greener on the other side of the sea. And he looked to Moab, and he said, oh, we're going to go over there because it looks good over there. So he took his Jewish family to a land that was against God, to a land that worshipped idols, to a land that was perverted, to a land that had many other gods, but not the one God, not one God, the true God. And so he brought his family to live in a place they were never called to live in. And in that, and because of his decision, he passes away, and his two sons pass away, and the three widows are remaining, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. Naomi is Jewish. She's of Jewish descent. She's of the land of Judea, Bethlehem. But Ruth and Orpah are Moabite women. And so Naomi hears, ooh, God is doing something back in the land, back where I know that there's a house of bread and that there's provision. I've got to get back home. So she begins to gather up her things and she begins to go on her truck and the two women start following her because they have no covering anymore. If you do not understand these times, women didn't live on their own. They had to have a covering and a husband. Their purpose and their contract in life was when you would leave your family, your parents, you then joined into a new family and you take on all that they are. And so these women were no longer a part of their old community, their old life, their old ways, but they've now adopted this family's new life, new ways, and new patterns. And Naomi notices these girls, they're young, they're still beautiful. They could go on with their lives, and she says to her two daughters, don't go with me, but go back to your land, go back to your tribe, go back to all that you know. And go find for yourselves husbands because there's no way I'm going to be able to have any more babies. And they would grow up fast enough for you to have a husband and for you to bear children. Because in the contract of a marriage, for a woman to bear children was humongous. And so here, Orpah was like, I don't want to, but she did. And she decided to go back to her old ways, her old gods, her old traditions. And we never hear from her again. But Ruth was different. Ruth declared in that moment, no, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die. She was declaring and she was putting a stake in the ground, saying, I'm leaving all that I once was and I'm stepping into all that I married into and I joined in a covenant with. And even though he's gone, I'm still going to follow you, Naomi. Because I believe in this God you're talking about, and I believe in being loyal to you. These two women go across the desert. Can you imagine? They probably came across so many hardships as they traveled, only to get to a land that they had nothing in any longer. And as they show up, the town remembers Naomi. And they're like, Naomi! Naomi says, stop. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Because Naomi meant pleasant. And I left this land full and I came back empty. And now I'm bitter. And God's bitter judgment has been on me. So she came back. She was grieving. She was angry. She had been through anguish. She had no covering. She had no provision. She has this daughter now who's trying to stick by her side and trying to help her mother-in-law, but I'm sure it was one more thing for Naomi to have to think about. One more person for her to take care of when she had no provisions. And so Naomi is broken. Ruth is broken. They're both widows and grieving. And Ruth says, I'm going to go and I'm going to find some food. Because in the Jewish tradition, God gave everybody pieces of land. And when the harvest time would come, the harvesters would go and they would gather bundles of grain and bundles of barley. And when they would fall off, you know, when you were gathering and there were some that fell, they were not to pick it up because there would be people, gleaners, that had no money. And that they would not be allowed to glean the corners of their fields either, because those people that were poorer in the community could come to these fields and they could take what they needed from the corner of each field and from what was lost when they were gathering in the harvest. You see, God always made a way for everyone in his land. God was always generous. So here's Ruth in the field. She's starting to gather. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know a living. So she looks different. They can tell she's not from their tribe. And so she's in the field doing her thing, being faithful to Naomi, trusting that God is going to do something because she's heard the stories of who he was. And all of a sudden, Boaz comes on the scene. Oh, this man, tall, good looking, not even married. And yet he says, who's that? Who's that woman right there? And his workers say, oh, that's, her name is Ruth. And she came back with Naomi. She's a Moabite. And he goes, okay, I want you to take care of her. I want you to make sure she has all that she needs. Go before her. And then he invited her to a meal at the table. And he was kind to her, and he brought her dignity. He didn't make her feel bad for being a foreigner. He didn't make her work extra hard because she was not from the land that she was supposed to be a part of. But no, he brought her to the table, and he said, listen, all that you need, take what you need. He filled her up on a meal, and then she took more home to Naomi. And when she took it home, she had so much that she was overflowing with it. And Naomi asked her, where did this come from? And she begins to tell him, I stumbled upon a field. And all of a sudden, there was a man, and his name was Boaz. And do you know what happened to Naomi? Something in that dead heart of hers began to turn. And when Naomi was in this place of lull, she heard the name Boaz, and she began to go, because she understood the tradition of the Jewish customs and what God had put in place. She knew who Boaz was. Boaz was a family member who was the one in line to redeem Naomi and restore back everything that her husband had lost when he left. And all of a sudden, this woman went from cursing and sadness and brokenness and don't talk to me and call me Mara, to a woman that began to praise God, to a woman that began to remember what God was doing and remember what God's promises were. So go with me here. We're going to read about it. Ruth 2:20. This is Naomi's response to Ruth. May the Lord bless him. We have not heard this kind of talk come out of Naomi. She was broken. Naomi told her daughter-in-law, he is showing his kindness to us and all as well to your dead husband, talking to Ruth. That man is one of the closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. Then Ruth said, what's more, Boaz even told me to come back and to stay with the harvesters until the end of the harvest. That is a season, guys. That means she's going to hang out with Boaz for a while. I think he knew what he was doing. Until the end of the harvest is complete. And Naomi's response was good. this is good. Now I'm going to explain. Do as he says, my daughter. Stay with his young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you will be safe with him. So Ruth worked alongside the women in Boaz's field and gathered the grain, and until then, in the end of the barley harvest, then she continued working with them through the wheat harvest. That means a second season, not just the first season, but a second season she stayed on. And all the while, she lived with her mother-in-law. And guess what? All the while, Boaz was getting to know Ruth. And God was doing something supernatural. In these verses, we see that Boaz represents what we call a kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer is quite a term. We don't use this term nowadays. In fact, we don't even understand some of the depths of how God set things up. But a kinsman means family. Redeemer means savior. Kinsman redeemer was Boaz's position. But for us, church, the Gentile church, who was on our way to hell, Jesus was our kinsman redeemer, and he became the spotless lamb and sacrificed everything so that we could come and be brought into the family and into the kingdom of God, and that everything that Satan had taken from us in sin and shame and hurt and pain, Jesus came to wipe it out and abolish it, to renew it and redeem it, and to restore it back to us as his people here on this earth today. Here was Boaz. Boaz was the same. It's Goel, and that's the Hebrew word. And it was that he was to provide a permanent claim for his family. That means he was the cousin, I guess the cousin, the great cousin, I don't know what the lineage was there, but he was a cousin of Elimelech. And when he lost the land, he took that land, and him and another family member began to work that land. So when Naomi came back, they said, Naomi's back. Who's going to restore back what they lost? Because with this land, everything else comes, Naomi and Ruth. And he understood that. So as soon as he found out who Ruth was, he was looking and going, okay, this is my responsibility. This is what my responsibility is. I got to take care of her and Naomi. And I've got to provide for them, and I've got to make a way for them. They cannot live alone in a cave by themselves, but they need to have a proper home, and they need to have a proper covering. And see, God is not going to leave us on our own. You may feel like you have been abandoned by humanity, but I'm here to tell you tonight that the God of heaven and earth sees you. He knows you. He loves you. You have not been left. You have not been abandoned. He has not left you to yourself and to your own. But he is the Goel. He is a kinsman redeemer to us. And as Boaz knew what his role was, God knows what his role is. See, Boaz was the one in line, and Naomi knew that Boaz had to fulfill what his responsibility was. Naomi knew the customs. She knew how it worked. Boaz is a beautiful type and shadow of Jesus Christ and the church. And Naomi and Ruth needed a savior. Church, we need a savior too. We are in some times where there are religions that were just voted in other states. Can we talk for a second? And they hate us. They hate us as Christians in our own land. Persecution's coming, church. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to raise you up and toughen you up so that when you get to the point where they tell you to deny Christ, that you will not deny Christ, because Christ never denied you, that he gave everything for you, and he will make a way of escape. He will provide for you when you don't have it. You might not be getting a paycheck right now. The government shutting down may be hurting your finances. I'm here to tell you the government's not your provider, church. God is your provider. We saw in this story Naomi complaining. She complained. She was frustrated. She was hurt. She was broken. She was in despair. But I did not hear Ruth complain. I saw Ruth get to work. And I think God is looking for the heart of a man. He's testing us. He's testing us. He's testing us, church. I have not passed every test. Can I be honest with you? In fact, just this morning, I failed. Pastor Dan and I had a good old fight this morning. Good old fight. There was no intense fellowship. We were just screaming. And afterwards, I'm like, I failed that test, God. Please forgive me. How can I stand in a pulpit? And you know what he said? He said, good, I needed you to have that. Because there was a point of breaking that had to come out of you that you were holding on to because it was in your heart and you need to release it so that I can heal it, so that I can move forward and further, and these things will no longer have you, but you will have them because you have pressed into me. See, Ruth, she was in this field. She just stumbled across this field. She just so happened to be in the right place at the right time. I believe that's a divine appointment, and we already talked about that in the past. And yet God is looking at Ruth, or Boaz is looking at Ruth, and Ruth caught Boaz's attention. But I don't know about you, I want to catch God's attention like Ruth caught Boaz's attention. And not because we're pretty, and not because we're perfect, but because we have hearts that God can work with, God can use, and God can work alongside of, through us and in us, to see a change for the souls and the wellness of the gospel of Jesus Christ getting spread across this world. Church, God is looking for a church that will wake up and that our hearts will long for what he longs for, that will be available and ready for whatever it is he asks of us to do. But yet so many times we're so caught up in ourselves, we're caught up in our pains, and we're caught up in our tragedies, that we miss what God is doing, that we can't see what he wants from us. And yet God is looking and he's seeking whom he may use. God is searching to and fro. And I believe that day God saw Ruth and he was like, oh no, I'm going to hook her up. This one left her land, she left her people, she left everything, and she came and she said, I will die where you die, your God will be my God. Her commitment meant the world to God. And then this little girl wanted to take care of Naomi in a field. And if God is looking at her heart, what is he seeing? And what do we need? See, Naomi was lacking in faith because she was broken. Tragedy will dim our light. It will dim us. Tragedy will slow us down. And that's okay, guys. There's times and places to mourn the things that we need to mourn. But these women were broken, and they had no provision. And yet, her light, Naomi's light, needed a little bit of an injection of faith. And sometimes you are going to need an injection of faith. Sometimes you're going to just need a little shot of God's word that will just pump you up again and get going. I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a move of God in your life. And when Naomi heard what Ruth had said about the kinsman redeemer, all of a sudden Naomi was reminded of her covenant with God. And church, we are in covenant with God ourselves. And God promises some things to us. And we're going to get into that next week. But this week, we're going to get into what is God looking for in our hearts in order to have the results of what Ruth is receiving from Boaz and what we will receive from God. I want to receive from God how Ruth got to receive from Boaz. An injection of faith is needed in the church and in the body of Christ to build our hearts for a move of God. I believe God wants to move in his church. I believe God wants to do something supernatural in these end times, in the churches and in the houses of God. But we have to get ourselves back into a place of faith. And this means that God is waiting graciously for our hearts to be filled with faith. See, what does that look like? In our conversation this morning, I was discouraged. I was discouraged in what I was seeing in our land. I was discouraged in the big picture. I'm kind of prophet perceiver. And so I get like visions and dreams, and I see things in a deep way. And it's hard on me sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm Jeremiah, you know, and like I'm going to come and beat you all up with what I know God is telling us. And I've had to learn to take that to prayer. I've had to learn that God is telling me these things so that he can bring a warning and get us prepared for these times. And so I'm learning how to use the gifts that God has given me. But my heart was so incredibly heavy with the news of what our nation is going towards. And how they are just walking away from all the things that God has put laws on. God has talked about in this word that we're walking away from what God says. And unfortunately, I get online, I see some of you. And I see what you're standing for, and I'm sad for you. Because you're going against God. And church, somebody needs to tell you. Because God's looking at our hearts. And it's not about what we want, but it's about what he wants. And I've got to get my heart in line with what God is doing. And in that moment, Naomi heard. She heard. It built a faith in her heart. And she got herself in line with what God was doing. And we will get into this. Then Naomi went to tell Ruth how to catch that man. She had direction on how to catch Boaz. And listen to me. God wants to give you instruction. He wants to set you up for success. He wants to bless you. He has open doors for you. He has favor for you. But you have to put yourself in a position where your heart is no longer in a place of despair, but your heart is ready for an injection of faith. And God is needing us to revive ourselves in a spirit of faith. We've got to get ourselves back in faith. So when I was discouraged, I'm talking to Dan about it, and he's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, this is when God moves, is in the darkness. This is when God does miracles, is when things are bad. We know what's going to happen. And I'm like, I know. And he's like, Jess, what are you thinking? Come on. And I'm like, why are you not more passionate like I am? And he's like, I am. But I just know that I know what God is doing. And there was just something that I caught from my husband today. So, babe, well done. It was an injection of faith. It was an injection of no matter what I see on the news, no matter what I see in people, no matter what I can see happening or not happening in our world, my God is still God. He is on the throne. He's a provider. He's a rescuer. He's a redeemer. He's the one who goes before me. He's the one who is behind me. He surrounds me. And when I get my heart back into faith, something begins to happen, and I'm in a position to receive a blessing. I want this for you. I want you to be in the recipient of a blessing. I want you to be in a place where you are walking away from your old man, walking away from the places of pain and tragedy. Listen, you can't fix it. You can't go back and make it right. But what you can do is leave it at the cross and leave it at the altar and let God handle it. And you move forward in all that God has for you. Because no longer is your heart, I hope tonight, gonna leave broken, defeated, busted, and disgusted. But I pray your heart is filled with faith. I pray your heart is blessed and ready to go for all that God has for you. Because this story is not just a story of two little women that had nothing, but these are women that caught the attention of all of heaven. And that God moved heaven and earth, and this is a real story for them. Because God sees you here in San Bernardino. You have gone through some things. You have been hurt. You have been abandoned. You have been rejected. But I'm here tonight to remind you that your heart is being tested. And do not let the rejection, the abandonment, the brokenness, the place of despair and defeat be your destiny. But allow the Spirit of God to come and inject you with faith and believe on God. Believe in who he is. Believe that he is your kinsman redeemer. Because when we do, God shows up for us. Isaiah 43:18-19, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Leave it behind, church. Time to move on. Behold, I do a new thing. and now it shall spring forth, and you shall not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Woo! I don't know about you, but God is doing a new thing, and that was my verse for the second point, but I believe that was the right verse for this moment. Because God is waiting for us to get an injection of faith again. Some of your hearts have been cold. Some of you have been lethargic. Some of you have been in a place that you are not moved by anything. You've almost become complacent with God. And I'm here tonight to get you to stir yourself up. Because you got to be like Ruth in that field, just waiting for whatever it is that's going to happen. Because all I know is I'm faithful in my heart. And then you got to be like Naomi, who was sitting in her house all day or in a cave, waiting for Ruth to come home with some food, lost her husband and has no hope. But when she heard that Boaz is there, Boaz is going to save us, because faith rose in Naomi's heart. Faith was an injection into her heart. And some of you tonight, I'm here to tell you, raise up your faith in your heart. Begin to speak the word over your situation. Begin to pray over your children. Begin to pray over your marriages. Begin to speak to those finances. It's not coming in. Then you begin to lay hands together as a couple. And you begin to ask God to open doors that only He can open. You see, church, we got to get radical. We got to get radical because God is radical. And we need a supernatural move of God in our lives as these two women were receiving all the way back then. He is the same God. He is the same God today as He was then. And He's coming for us. He loves us. He's graciously waiting for our hearts. He's gracious and He's good. He loves you. And if you walk out of here with anything, God is waiting for your heart to be surrendered to Him. Now listen, church. You cannot talk out of your heart one way, negative, beating up life, almost like saying, yes, this is what it is, and then get in faith. You got to just get in faith. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they come to Him, and they're coming after Him in Matthew. And He says, you brood of snakes. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? These were people that knew God. And He's saying, you don't know what you're even talking about. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whew! A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word that you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or they will condemn you. Woo! If you did not have the fear of God on you right now, you should. You should be repenting for every word that has come out of your mouth that is unpleasing to God, because you will give an account for it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when our heart is weary, and when our heart is broken, and when we find our place in a place of complaining and a constant unrest, guess what happens? Our heart follows us there. But it's when we get some faith and an injection of faith that God begins to turn it, and it begins to change the trajectory of the world that we're living in. And God wants to do something new in you, church. He says a good person in Luke 6:45, a good person produces good things out of the treasury of his good heart. But an evil person produces evil things out of the treasury of an evil heart. All you have to do when you don't understand what people believe or who they stand for, just listen. Because they will speak what they believe. If they speak evil, you know, I'm out. Peace. We are not friends. You need to get some new friends. It might be time. Ruth and Naomi's hearts were walking them both back into faith during this season. Naomi was coming back alive. She was waking up to all that God had for them. He was gracious, and He waited for her patiently. Some of you are going to take some time to get here. It doesn't just happen. You know, it's so nice that Pastor Dan told me that, but I have to work at this. I can't put into my spirit man the news right now. I can't, because what happens is I get mad and I get angry and I'm like, what is wrong with people? You know, like, and that is not God. So I have to put some boundaries on myself so that my heart stays healthy, so that I pour in faith and not things that are going to distort me and bring me to a place where I can't even pray for people anymore because I'm angry. That's not godly. So God is saying you've got to turn this around, but I will give you time. And he's patient with us. We did not see God rebuke Naomi. We did not see that. We did not see God not provide for Naomi. God graciously just showed up and spoke a language Naomi understood right away. And that was a language of faith and a redeeming love that only he could bring. And she recognized and she grabbed a hold of it. Listen to me, church. God is speaking a language of love over you. And so turn off the news. Turn off family members that maybe put you in a place. You know, the hot word is trigger. I'm not saying that, you know, run from all your triggers. But what I am saying is, if it's ungodly, then you need to turn it off and you need to step into the presence of God. And you need to inject yourself with the word of God and you need to get in faith over it. Say the opposite of what you feel and begin to believe God for the impossible in your life again. Because that's what changed everything for these women. 2 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith in the conflict with evil. That's where we're at. Take a hold of this eternal life into which you were called and for which you were made the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith, church. Fight the good fight of faith when things are hard. Fight the good fight of faith when things are maybe not going our way, because most of the time they won't. But guess what is going our way? God. God is on your side. He is on your team. He is cheering you on. He is making a way in the desert. He's making rivers in the desert. He is doing something supernatural. But you've got to get in, and your heart has to connect in faith with who he is. An injection of faith. And these women did something. It built up their hearts so God could move in their lives. This means that God is looking for us to be faithful in our hearts. I know these sound like very similar, but it's different. First, it was you need to have an injection of faith into your heart that has been broken. But now, the second point is you've got to be faithful to God in your heart. Naomi was faithful to God. She didn't turn from him. And so was Ruth. Ruth had heard the stories. Ruth committed to walking a walk. She left everything behind to follow God faithfully. And then when Naomi told Ruth, go to the field and do this and do it this way and have it this way, you know what Ruth did? She didn't fight with her and say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to work hard. Why are you telling me to go? Why don't we just like, you know, that would be us nowadays, right? We would be like, how long do I have to be in the field? You know it's true. We're such wimps. And here she was, she just said, yes, ma'am. And she went to that field and she stumbled upon a field and she stepped into a destiny with Christ. But it was in that field, it was her faithfulness to stay committed to what she was doing that caught Boaz's attention. Who is that? She's here every day. What is she doing? Who is she taking this food to? What? She's taking care of Naomi. That's my responsibility. You see, it was her faithful heart that caught the attention of Boaz. It was Ruth's position of faithfulness and honesty and simplicity of who she was and her availability for whatever the boss was asking that God began to move on her behalf. He paid attention to her and he had her back. Let's contrast this. There was a man in the Bible. His name was King Asa. King Asa was the opposite of what Ruth and Naomi were. He was a man that was rich and he had it all. And he took matters into his own hands and he did things his own way, not God's way. See, God had to send a man to go tell him that because you did things your own way, and you followed your own heart, and you did it your own way, you will now not be trusted by me. I don't want God to say that to me. I don't want God to be like, I can't trust you. I can't trust you with what I want to give you. I can't trust you with blessing because you're gonna go and take it to the casinos. You're gonna run it out of the building. I can't trust you with a beautiful wife because you can't even take care of your mothers and your sisters around you. You see, you want God to bless you, but God, can God trust you with the prizes and the possessions that he sees and deems valuable? Asa couldn't. He did it his own way. Over and over again, he kept rebelling against God. God was angry about this, and there was no blessing for him. And God said, because of this, you will be at war, and then you will be at war again, and you will have war again. 2 Chronicles 6:9 says, and the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth, guys, in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been talking about, Asa. From now on, you will be at war. I don't want to be like Asa. I want to be like Ruth. I want to be faithful. I want God to be able to ask me to do something, and he trusts that I will fulfill it. I will do everything in my ability to make sure that what God is asking, that I do it well, and I steward it well, and God can trust me with what he's put in my hand. What's in your hand? What's in your heart? Who are you over? Who has God entrusted you with? How are you taking care of those things? And how are you valuing them? See, God wants you to succeed, church. He wants us to see people how he sees them. People are not perfect, but God is. And people are not faithful, but God is faithful. But a people of God can be faithful to God. That means it's a turning away from longing for the things of this world, and it's a yes and everything you need from me, God. When you choose to be cynical, some of you are very cynical. I know I can be. Maybe we have less than attitudes. We're just like, whatever, people are stupid. This is dumb. This is just the way it is. It is how it is. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. When you have an attitude like that, God can't trust you with anything. He's not going to give you more. He's testing your heart. But when you allow yourself to die to those phrases and die to those thought patterns and die to those things, maybe you come from a negative background where mama was negative and grandma was negative and great-grandma was negative. I'm here today. Break that stronghold and begin to be positive. Begin to speak life, because God is asking us to be faithful, and we cannot be faithful when we're talking out of one side of our mouth and saying we believe God out of the other. It doesn't work. And God is looking for a faithful people, as he could trust Ruth and trust Boaz with Ruth. A faithful person has a position in the kingdom of God. And when we have a position in the kingdom of God, God begins to transform us, and he grabs our hearts and he moves heaven and earth, and we begin to do incredible things. We find ourselves in incredible God moments. You'll be at the grocery store and you'll have the most craziest conversation. I was talking to a friend. She was driving on the East Coast, and as she was driving, this girl was very broken and homeless on the side of a road. And she was like, I have to talk to her. And she got out of the car, and this girl could barely talk, and she began to just speak life into this girl. How many people, and tears ran down her face, and she began to change. How many people walked past that girl? But yet, my friend was driving, and God said, you got to pull over. And she heard the voice of God and stopped. Church, we're on assignment. God is looking for a heart that will be faithful to what he asks. Not faithful to what the world is asking of us, but faithful to what God is asking of us. That grabs the attention of God. Walking away from our old life is good. Stepping into all that God has for us is supernatural. So when the kinsman and redeemer gets our attention, we get it through an honest heart, through a faithful heart, and through a heart that is in love with who Christ is and all that God has. I have one last story for you. A Parisian legend tells us that there was a certain king who needed a faithful servant who had to choose between two candidates for the office. He took both, and he fixed the wages, and he told them to fill the baskets with water from a nearby well, seeing that he would come in the evening to inspect their work. After dumping one or two buckets of water of the basket, one of the men said, what is the good what good is this doing of this useless work? As soon as we pour the water into it, it runs out the sides of the basket. The other answered, but we have our wages, haven't we? So he stayed positive. This use is the master's business, not ours. So pretty much like, who cares what work we're doing? We're getting paid. I'm not going to do such fool's work, he replied the complainer. Throwing down his bucket, he went away. The other man continued, and as he drained this well, looking down into it, he saw something shiny at the bottom that proved to be a diamond ring. Now I see the use of pouring water into the basket, he explained. If the bucket had been brought up and the ring before the well was dry, it would not have been found in the basket. Our work was not useless. When God's blessings does not fully meet your expectations, church. When God's blessings don't look like the way you wanted them to play out in your life. Because that happens. We don't even notice it. When this happens, our work is not useless if we've given it faithfully to the Lord. You might go, like I did, why do we do what we do? Does anybody listen when we preach? Does anybody get the gospel? You may not know pastors feel that way, but we do. We got people coming in and out of our church all the time. And all I'm saying is like, listen to the Bible, man. It's life-changing. Would you just do what God tells you to do? You'll be okay. When we're faithful to God, God is faithful to us, and his work is not useless. Ruth did not know that her faithfulness in that field and her faithfulness to Naomi and her faithfulness to leave her land and go into a land of the unknown, that she would grab the attention of heaven and that the goodness and the favor of God would follow her. It was in her faithful heart and the injection of faith into Naomi's heart that God began to move, and this moved these two women into obedience. And we will go there in our next message. I wanted to do something tonight because the Lord had told me that the church, the people, they need to let some things go. That it's time. It's time to let it go. It's time to trust God. Maybe there's been some dead places in your heart. Maybe you've been angry with your parents. Maybe you've been angry with your spouse. Maybe you've wondered, where have you been, God? Why didn't you show up like I needed you to? Maybe you've been in fear over finances or fear over having children because you can't have them and your womb has been barren and you need God because you need a miracle. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you've been praying and believing for healing and it just hasn't come and you found yourself kind of falling out of faith and, well, I don't think God's going to come meet my need. And God says, will you surrender it to me? Will you give it to me? Will you leave it at the foot of the cross tonight? The one who can change everything, his name is Jesus. And he has freedom for you tonight. And so tonight, this is what we're going to do. We're actually going to go back into worship. But see this piece of paper? They're at the front of the crosses. And I'm going to ask you that if there's something you've been just, that has been capturing your heart, and you need to let it go so that faith can fill that place in your heart, write it on there, fold it up because nobody needs to see it, and pin it to the cross. And I want you to leave it there. This is going to be an act of faith for you. For me, it would be my children, this church. I'd write it. I'm going to write it, and I'm going to pin it to the cross because this is God's, not mine. This is God's. These children are his, and I have to trust him with it. I can't worry about their future, what God's going to do. I have to trust that God is doing something supernatural in their lives. What are you believing God for? What fear grips your heart? What do you need to let go and leave at the altar today? And so today I'm going to ask everybody to stand up, and as the worship team begins to pray, or actually not pray, sing, you're welcome to just come up as you want. And you're even welcome to stay at the altar just for a time of worship as well and just pin it to the cross. Well, the
Just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not such deep.
They're doing that. I just want to give an opportunity for anyone in this room. I'm going to make this really simple. If you tonight are like, I need to be like Ruth and I need to give my life to God. I need to leave my past and I need to run and allow God to save my soul and I need to be free from sin. I don't want to live how I used to live. Tonight, if you need Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I want you to just raise your hand right now. You want to give your life to God, and we're going to just pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer, and we're going to invite him to come. If you've been running from God instead of to God, tonight is your new commitment to say yes to all that God has for you. It's different than putting something on a cross. It's saying, God, you are my God, as Ruth did. So tonight, is that you? I want you to raise your hand around the room. Just raise your hand. I'll see it, and then we're going to pray together. I see those hands. I see those hands. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to pray together. Say, dear Father God, I come before you tonight, a sinner in need of a Savior. And I invite you to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. Wash me, cleanse me. Thank you, Jesus, that I am no longer, as of tonight, bound by my sin, but I am free in your salvation. And because of the cross, you died for me, and my sins are cleaned and forgiven. So Jesus, fill me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me your ways. Teach me how to be a follower of Christ. Give me the willpower to say no to sin, no to my past, and yes to all you have for me. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight is the night that I leave hell behind and I'm headed for heaven. I have a new purpose. I have a new destiny. In your name, amen and amen. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray over those, every name and everything on these crosses. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And Lord, we just commit tonight as a church to leave it on that cross, and that your blood washes away all of it, every fear, every worry, every anxiety, everything that has our hearts trapped. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we break every stronghold connected to it. We bind every work of Satan in the name of Jesus. And we speak freedom right now, just freedom off of their hearts, freedom off of their lives, freedom over their minds. And they are covered by the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony, God. And God, I ask that as they leave these doors tonight, that they will be a church on fire, a church that you can see our hearts, God, a church that you can say, oh, let me use them for what it is I've got for them. And Lord, I pray, God, that we will be your mouthpieces in the Inland Empire and across the nation. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you are good. And God, you are faithful. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in our hearts, and in our families, in our homes, and in our churches, in our marriages, God, and in our nation. Lord, save our nation. God, we cry. Come and intervene in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, ignite the church of the living God. And Lord, have your way in us. And we declare in faith and out loud that the Inland Empire shall be saved. If you believe that, let's give them a hand.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.